We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a TV listing from the Telegraph, read by Corrie Caulfield.
BBC One, 4:35 p.m. The Queen's Nose. See pick of the day.
Thanks to the dozens of people who sent that in. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and John Sargent. Challenging them on my left, Linda Smith and Alan Corran. Francis, the first question of the new millennium goes to you. Why did Hamlin come to pay the piper?
It's all these rich chaps boasting about their donations. Lord Hamlin started by saying he'd given £2 million to the Labour Party. And then Lord Sainsbury said, well, so have I. And I gave lots of millions before that. And now somebody else called Christopher Ondaatje, or Michael Ondaatje, has said, well, I've given £2 million as well, if it comes to that. Except he's Mr. Ondaatje, he's not Lord Ondaatje. But I'm sure this is an oversight that will be remedied within the next year or so on an honours list. And there was yet another donor, though he's a mister, because he didn't give quite so much. Robert Bourne, I think the man is bidding for the dome. And there was this extraordinary story that 2 years ago he threw a birthday party for Peter Mandelson with about 30 guests. And this is obviously very important and very shocking. I mean, to know that Mandelson has quite so many friends. Even now, I thought he was down to his two dogs for company these days. Are we allowed to say that Peter Mandelson loves dogs on the radio, or is there some edict?
They've lifted the ruling.
He does love. He's a great dog lover.
Isn't the point about Lord Hamlin, though, was he had this very rare medical condition that he couldn't admit giving money to the Labour Party. And I mean, you can imagine his doctor saying to him, well, you know, what is the problem? And he said, I try, I go to the bank, but it just won't come, you know. I mean, you can see the doctor then saying to him, but you can't just expect to wake up one morning, admit you've given £2 million, take it easy, do it gently, admit to a fiver, go on from there.
Well, now various MPs are saying we should have state funding of political parties to stop all this. And I'd just like to know, if we all have to give donations to the Labour Party, do we all get peerages, do you think?
Well, I wonder now if it's going to be like with organ donating, where you have to actually opt out of this donor system and carry a card saying, in the event of my wealth, I do not want to donate money to the Labour Party.
2 points to Francis. John, why are the government hoping a legacy will brighten up their new millennium?
Ah, yes. Now, this is our old friend, the dome. What are we going to do, incidentally, when the dome is finished? Nothing to laugh about. When it's gone, it's gone. Apparently, it was much more popular than we thought it would be, but they had this trouble with the turnstiles, so it could either be 6 million or 60 million. They weren't sure, because apparently these are brilliantly designed turnstiles that just didn't turn. No one had thought about that.
I think it also got very much more popular once it was free to go in, amazingly.
This man Bourne, if he buys it, he's going to turn it into a house for Peter Mandelson to solve his accommodation problem.
The problem is to sell the contents of the dome, isn't it? That body, it's so big, isn't it? I mean, you could imagine a small bodies would probably sell quite well, but that's such a big thing, isn't it, having your own
Michael
home?
Michael Heseltine wants to hold on to them. I had no idea he was such a hoarder. He's like my mum. No, we'll keep that giant body. It'll come in for something.
I think Mandelson could probably hold a party in the giant body because I've been there and you'd be surprised how you can actually get in.
Well, have you been there, Adam?
Did you like being in that body?
It's like having a turtle enema. What? Did I like being... Yes. Yes, it was an other body experience. I understood what colonic irrigation was all about. Like white water rafting in somebody's intestines.
2 points to John. Linda, whose repair job is going off the rails?
Oh, well, this, of course, is Snail Track, who have been criticised by the actual train companies. They've been described as incompetent. Well, I think you're in trouble when Virgin Trains are calling you incompetent. That's a poor state of affairs. So, yeah, apparently they've not been getting on with the repairs. Surprisingly, they haven't been getting on with them as well as they ought to be.
Exactly.
Knock me down with a combine harvester.
Apparently, they've got to be finished by Easter, and apparently now they're going to delay Easter.
They had the wrong sort of engineers on the line. I just opened my blackboard.
You know, they've had the trouble with delayed timetables, so you hear these announcements saying
Customers should be advised that the non-arrival of the timetables is due to the late arrival of an earlier timetable.
Now, it is a nightmare. Every journey in Britain is very similar to that one undertaken by Omar Sharif in Dr. Zhivago. It doesn't matter where you're going, just to Brighton, there's people throwing their babies on the train going, I'll never see Haywood's Heath again, but my baby might. It'd be quicker by space hopper, frankly, wouldn't it?
Railtrack have been criticised after failing to meet their deadlines for repairing railway lines. Railtrack boss Steve Marshall predicted that 8 out of 10 trains should be running as normal by the end of the month. The other two will arrive on time. 2 points to Linda. Alan, your piece of music. Night Fever by the Bee Gees, in case you didn't catch that. Why did Tony decide that the people should do the honours?
This is not the decision to have democratically advanced honours lists
that we had last year.
Why didn't you know?
Well, there's been the New Year's honours list.
Exactly.
Now you have now trawled the depth of
I know that. I went through it.
Now
I trawled the depth of the New Year's honours list. I didn't even get an AVE.
Well, that was all it was.
Well, I don't know, Simon, sorry.
Isn't that it? There was an honours list, and they had lots of honours for much-loved figures like Jim Davidson. And all our Olympic stars got extra medals. It's now Sir Vanessa Redgrave, I think, and all those other people who did that.
That was what Night Fever was all.
Yes,
Night
that's
Fever
right.
And
but I'll give a point to Francis, because he realised that the point of the question was that the honours went to perfectly ordinary people.
We're all disappointed not to have got an honour. Let's admit it, that's why it fell a bit flat, that question. I mean, we're just very, very annoyed. Simple as that, aren't we? Anything we wouldn't have minded, would we? Just a little bit of something to say thank you.
So what title would you like then, John?
Well, I'd go right up from CVESCO4 to Order the Bath. Any of those things, I wouldn't have minded. Just a bit of braid, some sort of medal, something I could wear in the evenings. I wouldn't mind.
Personally, I'd settle for a simple mister. Nobody's called me that in years. Every time anybody phones me, it's always Alan, people I don't know, including politicians. But Mr. Corrin will be all right. Do you think you can sort of get that? Five bob to the Labour Party and they'll give me a mister. An Esquire, that'd be OK.
Showbiz performers were in the list. William Roach, the Coronation Street actor who plays Ken Barlow, gets an MBE for his contribution to exports of British timber. We start round two with a small ad scene in the sale and altering a messenger.
Large, dark brown wooden wardrobe and matching toy boy. Good condition.
Thanks to Peter Butler of Hale for sending in that. Francis, whose lessons are lessening?
Oh, is this the great education crisis? David Blunkett has been warned that there's such a shortage of teachers now that schools are going to have to go on to a four-day week, which will be terrible news. I'm sure school children will be most upset to learn that they're going to have to spend an extra day at home playing with their PlayStation 2 and doing whatever children do these days. Watching Bill and Ben, they're back on the telly, aren't they? Some sort of computer-generated acid house version of it. And so there are going to be no more schools, and eventually, when the teacher shortage gets worse, it'll be the three-day week and then two-day week, and eventually the schools will be closed down altogether just in time for the election, so Labour can say we've delivered on our promise to cut class sizes, because that is down to zero.
Did you see they have this thing about asking kids to draw a maths teacher? Apparently the kids in Essex didn't know what a maths teacher was.
We come to that later.
What's that the older kids had to say?
Oh, we come to that later.
Oh, we come to that later.
I don't want to ask you to stand in the corner, John.
Some of them don't know the word later.
It's gaffes like that, John, that have robbed you of your peerage.
I know. We should have been on the same side, Linda. I knew we should have been.
It was fighting with Margaret Thatcher on the steps of the Paris Embassy that really did for you, I think.
Well, you weren't really fighting, were you? I mean, she got the first blow in, didn't she?
We were grappling. There's no point in pretending otherwise. It's so long ago now, we can speak the truth. It was a fight. It was a brutal struggle for power. And she lost.
So, 2 points to Francis. Linda, your piece of music. I wish I was a fisherman.
galaxies, far away from dry land and its bitter memories. Casting out my sweet
Fisherman's Blues by the Waterboys. Which health scare, Linda, might leave certain farmers swimming against the tide?
It's the salmon scare.
It is.
The great salmon scare. Apparently, farmed salmon may or may not have dangerously high levels of cancer-causing chemicals in them. I say may or may not have because some scientists are saying this is not true and that, in fact, this is just a scare tactic by the BBC, who've got a programme about salmon. They're just trying to whip up a bit of excitement around a programme about fish. But I'm not happy about this whole farmed salmon business because, apart from any danger, they're not as good, the farmed salmon. For a start, salmon shouldn't be on farms. They're fish. They should be in the sea. It's not the same as their wild environment, the salmon farm. They get fat, they get lazy. Farmer comes home after a hard day's work. There's the salmon lying on the sofa, still in its pyjamas, watching Lovejoy. Just so you get these flabby, tasteless salmon. Not a very good thing, but they are... They're not very bright salmon, so they don't work stuff out particularly. They have a weird... You know much of the life cycle of the salmon?
Yes, I do. They're not bright at all. They swim thousands of miles in order to have their underwear, and they swim all the way back and have to go uphill. In the event of which their egg bags frequently break. It's not a good thing. That's why they have to farm them. But I agree with you, it's not like Ambridge, is it? You can't imagine.
They always spawn in the same place. Well, I suppose we all do in a way, but they always return to the same place year after year. They have to keep going back. They can't choose another venue. They're creatures of habit.
I think you're confusing me with someone who gives a f***, but... yes, that is true of salmon. They also, after they spawn, they have to get in the tin, which is a bit tricky. I've never...
It must be endlessly disappointing. Imagine if you kept going back to the same honeymoon hotel. It would be ruined by year three. It would be a centre part, wouldn't it? So they're swimming upstream to some place that was some lovely little lake.
And it's all changed.
And it's all changed.
Linda, aren't you trying to warn us about the dangers of polychlorinated...
Biophenyls.
Isn't that what you're trying to say?
No, that's what you're trying to say.
She should have been on my team. You see, it's not fair.
The problem stems from the fact that Scottish salmon are not treated as well as they should be. Some are kept in cramped conditions, saturated with toxic chemicals, and in the worst known case, forced to lead the Scottish National Party for 10 years. So 2 points there to whoever got that. John, which method of surveillance got a glowing report?
Ah, yes. This is our friends in the Stasi, the East German security police, who thought it'd be good fun to spray people with radioactive chemicals and then follow them around with Geiger counters, which is a lot more complicated than shooting them. But you can imagine that, obviously, from James Bond's point of view, it answers a lot of questions, like, why was that cat so white? And if, for those of you a bit slow on that, this very white cat glowing in the dark, I mean, that wasn't natural. I didn't think it was natural. You saw that? You thought, what a very odd cat.
Blofeld,
and that's the answer. This Blofeld cat was in fact humming with radioactive chemicals. So no wonder it was so white. It wasn't just being put through a washing machine or soaked with Persil. I mean, that's how they got that effect. And I think it's very, you know, I'd worry if I was an animal lover, but I mean, I think as an ordinary cinema goer, I was very pleased with that.
Why would the Stasi be following that cat?
Well, I mean, it's a very complicated plot, Linda. We don't have. You know, I think it'd be quite wrong to take up the time of the audience explaining this. But, I mean, there was this Cold War, you know, going on with this and that, and it was sort of complicated. But anyway, that's what we used to do, and it's now out in the open. We may as well admit it.
So do you think all those idiots on beaches going round with those little metal detectors could in reality be unemployed Stasi agents?
Yeah, looking for this white cat.
Yes, it's been revealed that the secret police in East Germany monitored dissidents through the 1970s and 80s by spraying them with radioactive chemicals. The East German police believed they'd located a suspected dissident by this method, tracked him all the way to England. It just turned out to be someone who'd eaten a bowl of Ready Breck. Francis, why are hippies mushrooming across Britain?
It's magic mushrooms. I expect John knows the technical name for these things.
Yes, it's polychlorinated bifurcation.
And they're proliferating. And it's all to do with the way in which people now apparently use wood chip mulch, whatever that may be. Sounds beautiful, though, wood chip mulch. And they've been mulching away, and the mushrooms like this. And they grow hundreds of thousands of those hallucinogenic mushrooms, and they're springing up on runways and roundabouts everywhere. Can't move them. There are thousands of these things, and if you take one of them, you start behaving like, well, John Prescott on a bad day.
But it's all Dimmock and Titchmarsh and all this decking. It's places being made over, and Earth being... after you've watched Dimmock dig three or four slit trenches, you've had most of what you're going to get out of Dimmock. So they've abolished Earth. And everything is now covered with these little bits of grub that you can buy at Home Base, and it comes already with the mushrooms inside. It's all living omelette. And it's the BBC again, which has poisoned the whole of Britain. They come in and people, you're away for a week and someone does your house over, and what a surprise, it's a giant mushroom. The house is a huge toadstool with gnomes in it. Dimmock shaking an upstairs window. So, he's all down to Greg Dyke.
There must be students with wood chip wallpaper all over Britain going, yes!
The magic mushroom is thriving in Britain's parks and gardens as gardeners create the perfect habitat for the hallucinogenic fungi by spreading wood chips on the ground. The magic mushroom is found on golf courses, which is why golfers often talk about a birdie on the first, an eagle on the second, and a purple dragon breathing strawberry jam and singing kumbaya. Alan, which revolutionary schoolboy craze has put the local laundrette in a spin?
Yes, this is children getting into spin dryers and tumbling around for some reason on the day that they're not at school. They'll be allowed to do it 5 days a week soon as Blanket's policy is further implemented. I don't know why they're doing it, but they're going into laundrettes.
They used to be very fashionable, didn't they, laundrettes? You know, when we were young, you wouldn't go clubbing.
Fashionable.
Fashionable.
Yeah.
You'd go
when
out.
When he was young.
You wouldn't go clubbing.
You and I are the same age. I never hung around laundrettes.
Wasn't it fashionable in your
era? Climb in with and tumble.
Yeah, but you'd go out to the laundrette. You wouldn't go clubbing. You'd go out to the laundrette. And if somebody then came up to you and said, have you got sixpence for the dryer? I mean, all right, it never led to anything.
The dryer would do it.
But it was exciting. I mean, nothing happened as a result, but it was... I liked it.
you should stay in more, John. The boys involved in the dare, which involved going into spin dryers and staying there as long as they could, wound up spinning 20 or 30 times a minute, which is still 10 times slower than Peter Mandelson. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting sent in by Pete Harmon of Meltham, Huddersfield.
A man doused himself in petrol and threatened to set himself alight. One witness said every time the police went towards him, he picked his lighter up. He also had a box of matches. In the end, officers pushed him to the ground, and then he went off in the ambulance.
Francis, listen to this. Whose pupils, Francis, don't think they add up to much?
It's a survey. Where would we be without them, especially at this time of year? I assume that lots of academics just sit on the results of their research until Christmas and New Year, and then release it because they know it'll get on the front page. Any old rubbish. Usually that chap, Professor Carey Cooper or whatever, but this is a different set of researchers who sent letters to about 400 children around the world to ask what they thought of math teachers. And wherever you look in the world, the children say that they think of math teachers and mathematicians generally, I think, as being sort of bearded losers that nobody likes.
You've been very hard on Professor Carey Cooper. He's missed out by a single letter. He could have had a white hat and a horse, Grace Kelly, and killed any number of baddies. And he missed out by this single letter. Of course he's a nerd. He spent his entire life trying to make up for the fact that he wasn't what he looks like if you write his letters down.
Do you want to hear my views about what the school children in Essex think about this story? because by chance I've got a few thoughts on this. And that is really along the following lines, that a lot of the children in Essex don't know what a maths teacher looks like. Ha ha. You see, that's interesting, isn't it? See, you could re-edit my comments from early on about the Essex children. I think it might have a bit more sort of punch then. It fitted in so neatly before, didn't it? And it then did so badly the second time round.
Yes. On the other hand, our producer does have a social life. Oh, John, it's your question. Which tennis stars are playing doubles or quits?
Oh, gosh. Now, I know what these are. These are two very, very nice young women. One is called Nana Kurakova or something improbable. And the other one I do know, called Martina Hingis. And they've been playing doubles together, but they've not had a very good relationship because, first of all, Nana said to Martina, "You will never look as attractive as I do." That didn't go down at all well with Martina. Then one of them decided they wouldn't play the friendly match in as friendly as way as they should do and was accused by the other of being too serious about the friendly match, and that was it. So Martina then stormed off and decided she would play with Monica Seles, who we know was once stabbed by one of her admirers. Now, all this is going on in the very nice, gentle world of ladies' tennis. And it just proves, you know, what a nice fellow John McEnroe really was.
That game was actually a serious fight, though, wasn't it? I mean, they were chucking things at one another and rolling around on the... I mean, if Jeremy Hardy were here, we'd have to chuck a bucket of water over him now. Yes, they came to fisticuffs. Tore at one another's clothing. Just like the Wimbledon ladies' locker room at any time. But they were angry with one another.
Yes, absolutely right. It was a punch-up between Martina Hingis and Anna Kournikova. After a row on court, the two were said to have continued arguing in the dressing room, shouting insults and throwing trophies at each other. Kournikova ran out of ammunition first. Linda, which septuagenarian vandal left his lover seeing red?
Oh, this is a great story, actually. This is the story of a chap called Cyril, 79, who had a bit of a contretemps with his lady friend, also 79, and decided to handle the thing with an aerosol paint spray. He decided to become the oldest graffiti artist in town. I'm not sure that elderly white men should go in for the old hip-hop replacement, but he went along with it to spray some message, I don't know what, on her car. I'm 79, or it was all fields round here, you know. Some sort of... something disturbing, and it all went wrong. He ended up in court. It went off, apparently. I don't know how. The thing went off, and the whole place was covered in red paint. It was as if Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen had been at it.
Totally lucky it happened at all at 79. Look, he painted her, and he painted the living room.
And himself.
Everything. I was a terrific aerosol. I don't know where you get them, but he painted the entire place.
All those chintz chair covers ruined. All
of, yep.
Well, or not, depending on your point of view.
I don't think she ought to come out that well of the story. I mean, the thing was that he was just...
She was a tease. I will marry you, I won't marry you.
Yeah, no, there was that side of it which I agree was regrettable. If he had... if he had promised to marry her and she promised to marry him, they should have gone ahead with it. I mean, let's not mess about over that. The only thing was, he was trying to write a perfectly ordinary message on her car with the aerosol. And I would have thought this was a reasonable way in which young people, and they obviously felt young, would communicate with each other. They certainly do in our road.
She's left her in a pretty rotten state for anybody else, though. I mean, she's bright red and all her furniture's ruined. She's 79, she's not got a lot going for her. You'd think a decent three-piece suite would have him pulled in, but not now. It's cracked.
No sooner had Mr. Knight got into the front room than a leak developed and he began to spray the room uncontrollably. Well, it happens at that age. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from The Independent. Record numbers of PhDs are now being turned out by British universities, and it's estimated that 80,000 students in the UK are currently studying for a research doctorate. Dissertations recently completed or still in preparation include a comparative study of Milton Keynes and Islamabad, an ethnographic study of working-class responses to Elvis Presley, and the effects of gender on sensory awareness of potato chips.
John.
I've got news from Somerset from the Clevedon Mercury, and terrible news it is. The Mendip transmitter was knocked out by bad weather in early April. The blank slot, usually filled by the nightly news, still recorded regional viewing figures of 189,000. A BBC spokesman said people are so keen to see News West, they're prepared to sit and stare at a blank screen in the hope it will come into view.
Linda.
I've got a cutting from the Past Times Christmas catalogue sent in by John and Jenny Rance. Contented cat ornament. Many 19th century writers had cats as their constant companions. Dickens had his Wilhelmina and Christina Rossetti had her muff.
I got this from the Hearts and Essex Observer, Simon. It is ever since the Dunwich and District Joint Reorganisation Committee was set up in June 1998, none of its meetings has attracted enough members to secure the quorum necessary to vote on proposals submitted to it. All that changed last Friday evening, however, when for the first time 10 members convened. They voted unanimously to abolish the committee.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Alan and Linda have a perfect 16, but Francis and John have won with an even more perfect 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Saffron Walden Weekly News sent in by Jennifer Brooke-Smith.
Skaters claim their £30,000 skateboard park at Saffron Walden's leisure centre is so dangerous they have to travel to Great Dunmo to skate in safety. They want to discuss replacing the ramps in the park with town councillors.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Francis Wheen, Linda Smith and John Sargent. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, George Poles, Ned Fountain and Simon Littlefield. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.